A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So the 12 went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we read in the Gospel how Jesus sends forth the 12 apostles on their very first apostolic mission. We read, Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. So the 12 went out and proclaimed that all should repent. Now this word here for proclaim, it literally means that they were sent out and to herald forth the summons to repentance. In other words, to summon people to repentance. And they were to preach this, and it was not their own message. They were bringing a message. They brought a message that had been given to them by Christ. So the apostles were not supposed to tell people what they liked or what their opinions were or what they thought was probable. No, they were called to tell people what Jesus had told them. It was the God's truth that the apostles were to preach to the people. This was their task, to be ambassadors for Christ, to bring people his teachings. Later, after the resurrection from the dead, when Jesus appeared to them, he charged them once again with this task, and a little bit more explicitly. He said to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you." So this is actually the sacred duty of bishops and priests in a particular way. The number one mission, the number one job duty that we have as priests and as bishops is to preach the gospel. And at times, this is very rewarding. You know, I'm filled with joy whenever I am able to share the teachings of Christ with people who are really interested and are hungry for more. That's especially during RCIA or Alpha or a Bible study or some catechism program. There's people there usually who are eager to learn. They ask questions. They want to know more, grow in their holiness, in their relationship with God. And so it's a joy to be able to hand on these teachings of Christ and the gospel. And it's a joy for me because I can see how accepting the gospel message and the teachings enriches the lives of the people. They come to know and to believe, sometimes for the first time, in God's personal love for them. They're able to also see more clearly how selfishness and self-centeredness is disrupting their relationships, and they learn how to overcome these tendencies by the way of holy love. They learn the truth about how to live a good life, and so they're healed of a certain amount of ignorance or blindness as to what is truly good. And they find new meaning and purpose in their lives, and they have fresh hope for the future. And so in those situations, it's a real joy to bring the gospel and the teachings of Christ to people. On the other hand, there's sometimes when bringing the gospel and the message of Christ to people can be very, very difficult. Because, you know, the basic starting point of the gospel, the basic message or starting point of the message of Jesus is to repent. And that's a disturbing message sometimes for many people. Because to repent means to change one's mind and then learn how to behave in a new way. Repentance means a change of heart, a change of action. And for many people, this is a bitter pill to swallow, and they don't want it. Because it involves accepting that we may have been wrong, and we need to change something in our life and head in a brand new direction. And sometimes that is risky. It involves effort. It involves some sacrifice, a willingness to change. It may also lead to some misunderstanding with friends and colleagues, or involve losing a relationship or even a job. And unfortunately, many, many people are not willing to do this. And so when they hear the message from the church, the gospel, the teachings of Christ, when they hear that message from priests, they push back, they complain, they confront and challenge us. They try to get us to compromise the message of Christ so that they can feel better about how they're living. They prefer some behavior, activity, or opinion over the truth. But this is nothing new. It's always been the case. In the first reading today, we hear about the prophet Amos. He lived in Israel about 500-600 years before the time of Christ. And he was sent by God to the northern kingdom of Israel to preach a message of repentance, to tell the king, the priests, and the leaders that they had fallen into sin and they needed to reform their lives. And what response did Amos receive? Well, he was rejected. His message was rejected. And we're told that it says in the first reading, Amaziah, the priest, said to Amos, "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Prophesy there, earn your bread there, and never again prophesy at Bethel, for this is the king's sanctuary." In other words, the king, his counselors, his priests here, "We're not interested in your message of repentance, so stop and just go away." And those sorts of things happened, obviously, to all the prophets, happened to John the Baptist, happened to Jesus, and it happened to the 12 apostles, and it still happens today. I know a priest in our diocese who, on one occasion, he had to tell some good friends who were sharing with him that they really should not try to have children through in vitro fertilization because it's completely contrary to the understanding the church has of human sexuality, the nature of marriage and love. Well, he ended up losing that friendship. I know another priest who had to tell a friend that she was putting her salvation in great danger by divorcing her husband and living together with another man. He lost that friendship. I know a case where a priest in our diocese preached to the people in his parish that parents have the first responsibility to teach their children the faith, not the schools, not the parish, it's parents. And in that particular area, he said it was really important for parents to find out what their children are learning in school about the faith and make sure it's true. Because there were many reports coming back to him of teachers who were openly contradicting the church in their classroom. Well, after that homily, a flurry of letters was sent by principals and teachers to the bishop complaining that the priest was undermining Catholic education. And so these are the sorts of things that still happen and continue to happen when certain truths are being preached. There's often a pushback. In our case, it's not that bad, but in other areas of the world, it's even life-threatening. You may know Father Francis Hubilia. He's the associate priest over at Markdale, Durham, Dornoch, and Glen Elg. He and I were in a parish together for 6 years in Hamilton, and he's from the Philippines. And he told me that when he was in the Philippines, he was one of the deans for the Benedictine University there in Manila. And as a dean, he was invited by the government to preach and celebrate Mass at the opening of this major bridge in Manila. And everybody expected that he would just talk about how wonderful this bridge was, how beneficial it would be for uniting people and for business and the economy and things like that, you know. And there were all kinds of government officials and media were there. And instead, he preached about why did this bridge cost twice as much as it should have. And his whole point was all about corruption. And in the Philippines, corruption is just from top to bottom. Kickbacks, payoffs are just a part of way of life there, you know. But because of it, it keeps people in poverty. And some people get really rich. Well, after he preached that homily, he was at the reception afterwards, and one of the government officials came up to him and said, "Father, you know, just want to warn you, preaching that way can be harmful to your health." It was a threat. And then a short while later, weeks later, he was going somewhere in Manila, and he went down a side street, and there were two or three armed men who jumped out with masks on and held a gun to his head and said, "You know, stop preaching like that. This is none of your concern." And he said he just stood there, and he didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger or not. But then they just slowly backed away. And so he was just preaching the truth. Corruption is wrong. It can lead souls into danger, and it causes poverty in society. And for that, his life was threatened. And so sometimes it's very tempting as a priest to avoid talking about these controversial issues, these harder teachings of Christ, because who wants to be involved in controversy? Who wants to have people angry at them or shouting at them? And there are many times when I'm preparing my homily and I'm thinking, oh no, I don't want to go in this direction. I don't want to preach about this topic. And I try to find something else to preach on. But it doesn't work. There's nothing coming. All the ideas are coming in this other area. And so finally I say, okay, Lord, I'll preach on it, but I don't want to. So as a priest, though, we really cannot do that. Because you, as a people of a God, have a right to know the truth. You have a right to know the whole truth about Christ. And then it's up to each person to choose how to respond. But you have a right, at least, to hear the truth. And as priests, we've committed ourselves before God to being his ambassadors, to bringing the whole truth of Christ to the people. And as priests, that's our number one obligation. And if we were to compromise the message of Christ, fail to preach the whole truth because we might offend someone, that would be like a doctor who's afraid to tell his patient he's seriously ill because it might offend them. The doctor would be really betraying his role as a doctor. He'd be betraying his patient, and he would be hindering his patient from finding the proper treatment. And so it's the same way if, as priests, we don't preach the full message of Christ, even the hard teachings, we would be betraying our vocations, betraying you, and betraying Christ. And so we really need to do that, of course, in a loving way, to preach the full truth. And there's a story that I've shared here before, but it always helps me to overcome those temptations to kind of maybe back away. And to say, no, I've got to say this. It's the story of Father Shire. He was a priest, is a priest, in Midwestern USA. When at the time of this story, he would have been a priest for 13 years. And the people said, he was a good priest. He visited the sick, visited people in their homes, celebrated Mass, preached, visited kids in the school. He was kind, did a lot of good things. But one day he got into a terrible car accident on the highway in the country. And he was flung from the car, and he found himself lying on the road seriously injured. The car right behind him stopped and came to help immediately, and she was a nurse. And she could tell that he had broken his neck. In fact, he had broken, it was a C3 break, which is the same part of the spine that breaks when someone is hung. And so the nurse got him to lie perfectly still and secured his neck. And after a while, an ambulance helicopter came to take him to the hospital. And on the way, the priest went into cardiac arrest and he died. And he said later that he found himself in the presence of God for judgment. And his whole life was being played out in front of him. He saw everything he had ever said and had done. He knew the motives that were in his heart for doing and saying what he said. And he also saw how it impacted the lives of other people. He saw his 13 years of ministry as a Catholic priest. And at the end of it, he heard the judgment from Christ. And Jesus said, "For your judgment, you are condemned to hell for all eternity." And Father Shier said he knew that this was right. He said it was fair, it was just. No other judgment was possible. It was just what he deserved. And he knew why, because as a priest, he had accepted the obligation to be an ambassador for Christ, to bring Jesus and all his teachings to the people, even the hard ones. Because the hard ones really come from the heart of God, who is love. And the hard ones are there to guide us in the right direction. Those teachings are needed for people to know what it means to live a good life and to fulfill God's will and to reach eternal life. However, Father Shier did not like offending people. He did not like confrontation. So he just naturally, consistently avoided preaching about the harder sayings. He avoided teaching about the serious immorality of couples using artificial contraception or sterilization. He avoided talking about the immorality of same-sex marriage or any sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. He avoided talking about the serious obligation of attending Mass Sunday and avoiding all unnecessary work. He avoided talking about abortion. And instead, he said he focused on preaching on all the safe topics, things like prayer, God's mercy, the call to love one another, to help the poor, forgiveness, promoting peace, the dignity of the human person. And so it was for this reason he was condemned. But then Father Shier said he heard a woman's voice speaking up and say to Jesus, "Son, give him another chance." And he heard Jesus say, "But mother, he's been a priest for 13 years for himself, not for me." And Mary said, "I know, but give him new graces, graces he's not familiar with, and see if he bears fruit." And there was a long pause, and then Jesus said, "Mother, he's yours." And Father Shier woke up in the hospital, and he had a whole new appreciation of his obligations as a priest and how important it is to bring the whole message of Christ to the people. And so we as priests were called to be priests for Jesus, not for ourselves. It means we have to preach the whole truth of Christ to help people come to repentance and conversion, to grow in holiness of life. And it also means calling whole parishes to change and to grow. And this is not always easy, because it requires a new way of looking at things, requires openness and effort. And I really believe that in our parish here at Holy Family, we have a great parish. I think it's the best one I've ever served in. But I really believe the next step in the life of our parish is to gently, over time, and slowly but surely, move in the direction of becoming a more evangelizing people, a more evangelizing parish. That each group in the parish, whether it's CWL, Knights of Columbus, St. Vincent de Paul, Bible study, whatever it is, each organization and each person realize that we're called by the Lord to evangelize and share our faith with others. It's just part of our DNA as Catholics, part of the fundamental call the Church gives to us. Simply to make friends, to be friends to others, and then to gently, in an appropriate way, bring friends to Christ. And so, as parishioners, I just invite you to please keep an open heart. Be willing to learn what evangelization means and how we can carry it out in our lives in simple, ordinary ways. Take time to pray about it, talk to God about it, think about it, ask him to guide you and me into a deeper relationship with him and a greater willingness to share that with others. And pray for us as priests for wisdom to know how to lead parishes according to the heart of Christ and the courage to do so.